It's time for Open Journal's Community Spotlight, where listeners like you produce your own program. This airtime is a free service offered to those interested in sharing their knowledge, talent, and passions. This is also a space to audition new programming. Opinions expressed in Open Journal may not reflect the views of the Pacifica Foundation, its staff, board, or volunteers. Information shared on Open Journal should not take the place of appropriate professional consultation. Now it's time for Open Journal's Community Spotlight here on KPFT Houston.
Holidays are for gathering with family and friends, and that means time for telling stories, because stories teach us the magic of moments instead of days. Moments frozen in time and thawed during the holidays. Welcome to Storytime on KPFT's Open Journal. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubicek, Professor of Communication Studies at the University of Houston downtown. You know, the holiday season means gifts. Gifts to give, receive, and try to afford. And there's this thing about gifts, as this morning theme suggests, and to help cipher through gift-giving is storyteller Jay Staley, two-time winner of the Greater Houston Area's Liar Contest, and that's the truth, twice-featured teller at the George West Story Fest, a teller in residence at the International Storytelling Center in Jonesboro, Tennessee, and so much more. In March of this year, Jay appeared at the Tejas Storytelling Festival, and last year was one of 25 tellers featured at the 25th anniversary of that festival. And the magic number of 25 also is very, very consistent with Jay, because he's been hanging around the storytelling community for just about a quarter of a century. Author of two collections of stories, Short Tales, Tall Tales, and Tales of Medium Stature, and Think Rather of Zebra, dealing with aspects of poverty through story. That second one demonstrating Jay's untiring commitment to community. His recent adventure to Ethiopia punctuates that point, doing storytelling for educators and children. Jay's a member of the Houston Storytellers Guild, a personal friend and storyteller incarnate, in my judgment. Jay, good morning.
Good morning, Hank. How are you?
I'm so glad that you're here. You know, why the interest in this gifts? I mean, the gift thing is a big deal, right? And you were sharing with me that gifts, gifts, gifts. That's what the holiday really means.
Well, when I was growing up, gifts were a big thing around Christmas. On Christmas morning, I'm the youngest of three boys, and Christmas morning, my brothers and I would get up. We'd go to the kitchen, put the coffee pot, the burner under the coffee pot, and sweet rolls in the oven. And when the coffee began to perk, then we'd go in and wake up our parents and drag them out of bed so we could start Christmas, because that's when we opened our gifts on Christmas morning. After breakfast, my father would be the first one in the living room, and he would plug in the lights for the Christmas tree, and then he would plug in the floodlights for his 8mm camera, movie camera, and he would give us the cue. And on cue, my brother Josh would open the door to the living room and stick his head out of the door, and then my brother Jeb would stick his head out, and I would stick my head out, and my father would give us the high sign, and we would rush in and pull our stockings down and begin to open up our gifts. And at some point in this process, my father would pan the camera back to the door, and a coffee cup would appear around the frame of the door, and my mother would follow that coffee cup into the living room and take her seat on the sofa so she could watch the Christmas carnage as it unfolded in the morning. There were always gifts under the tree, and there was one rule at the Staley family, is that you had to look surprised when you opened a present, and then you had to be grateful. And so a year after year, my brothers and I got new underwear for Christmas. And
wow, that is exciting.
We would pull those packages out, and we knew beforehand what they were. And
that's exciting.
And we'd open those packages up, and we had to look surprised, and we had to be grateful. Oh,
did you get the Fruit of the Loom?
Santa brought us underwear. This is great. How did he know? And it wasn't until I was like 20 or 21 years old, and I looked down one day and saw my underwear was all tattered, I realized what a great gift that was every year to get new underwear at Christmas.
Maybe better underwear would have been probably a better choice.
Or somehow I would have. I had to. Santa never found my college address, I guess. But at any rate, I remember one year, I had asked for a bicycle for Christmas, and I asked for it in July during good bicycle riding season, and my parents said, well, maybe for Christmas you can get this bicycle. So I had 6 months to imagine what this gift would be like, and I built up my expectations. I dreamed about this bicycle. I knew what color it was going to be and the size of the tires and how the bell would sound and the light on the bicycle, and I really wanted that bicycle. And by Christmas time, there was no way my father could find a bicycle in Columbus, Ohio that anywhere matched my expectation of what that gift would be. And so it was very hard to hide my disappointment when I saw that bicycle and realized it wasn't what I wanted. Another year, there was a big box under the tree, and when you're a kid, you know that big is better. So I looked at that box, and I saw my name on it, and I went, pulled that box finally out from under the tree, and I began to unwrap it, and I was really excited. A big box had to be a great gift, and I opened up that box, and I reached inside, and I pulled out a globe.
Oh,
a
brother.
Globe. That's
what educational. That's intellectual.
I thought, oh my gosh, yeah. Why would Santa put a globe in his sleigh and carry it all the way to my house so I could have a globe? And for years, that globe sat in our room in the wing. And there were summers when I was bored, and I would take that globe and I would spin it, and I'd stick my finger on the globe, and where my finger stopped, there would be some exotic name like Vladivostok or Borneo or Addis Ababa, and I would try to imagine what life was like in those places and what those people were like. And this past summer, when I was in Addis Ababa in Ethiopia, and I met those people and became friends with those people, I thought back 50 years to that gift under the Christmas tree that I thought was such a dumb gift, was such a stupid gift to get.
Right.
And I realize now that it was one of the best gifts I ever got at Christmas. So you just never know when you open up those presents. It's a good gift or a bad gift, but you always have to look excited.
Yeah.
And be grateful.
Yeah, you know, the gifts that I got, and I know that you want to ask me something about that. You were curious about something, which I'll talk about in just a couple of minutes. But, you know, the gifts that we received were always the same sort of thing. They were classical albums. Do I really want something from Handel? You know, when you're 9 years old, honestly, you know, but my grandmother thought that was the right thing to do. That's the problem in living with the older generation. You are listening to The Thing About Gifts with storyteller Jay Staley on KPFT Storytime. I'm your host, Hank Rubichek, and you were curious about how I...
Wondering, you come from a different religious persuasion than I do, and so when the holidays come, your focus goes a different place than Christmas trees and presents under the tree. What was it like, the gift-giving process in Hanukkah time?
Well, for one thing, we're in the midst of Hanukkah, so I wanted to wish everybody a very, very happy Hanukkah. And Hanukkah is an important holiday, but of course, in the great scheme of things, it's nowhere near as important as Christmas is. But it's a holiday that is very misunderstood, I think, and I think that gifts is a big part of it. Growing up, I thought that we were given gifts for the same reason why non-Jews were given gifts for Christmas. I know that didn't make a whole lot of sense, but in a young mind, it was justification. And, you know, growing up, my grandmother, being a survivor and being from Lithuania, very old school, used to have these bizarre things next to my school books. They were peanuts, they were walnuts, they were little pieces of candy. Now, in my mind, I just thought she was losing it. But in fact, there's a real connection between that and gifts for Hanukkah. You know, the concept of gift giving is very prevalent in Jewish tradition, primarily as an incentive. In terms of Hanukkah, the Greeks, led by King Antiochus, of course, second century BCE, I believe, was different from the Persians. The Greeks were not interested in committing genocide, but they were interested in genocide of spirit. So what they did was to banish the notion of Torah being recited or articulated in public. As I was telling you earlier, that's the real history of the dreidel, because the Jews were not allowed to study Torah or anything biblical or anything ideological in public, so they would write their lessons in this top-like structure, and when the police would come by, they would pretend to be playing a game rather than studying Torah. They would be spinning it, and although that's a bizarre history, that's exactly where dreidel comes from. But getting back to the notion of gifts, the notion is that Jews during that time had to hold firm. As a matter of fact, the word Chanukah means in Hebrew to mold the spirit, to become strong rather than weak. And as a result, Jews were encouraged to study and to learn and to be inspired. And these sweet items were used as incentives. That's the gift. The 8 days comes from the festival that's celebrated for 8 days, and you get chocolate every day. You don't get SUVs and stereos. You get chocolate.
No Lexus.
Yeah,
in the
I just can't imagine, you know, giving a Jewish child right now a bag of peanuts saying Happy Hanukkah. But in fact, that's what it requires. Here's a little spoon of honey, honey. You know, here's a Hershey bar. Many listeners are familiar with what's referred to as Hanukkah gelt, those little chocolate coin-like items, and that is typical Hanukkah fare because that's exactly what the gifts should be. And it's kind of strange because we don't necessarily think about it as being that relevant, but in fact, you know, gifts for Hanukkah has its own very, very real symbolism, and that symbolism, I think, is critical.
So your grandmother wasn't losing it. She really was.
Yeah, she was a
putting those little gifts down there to encourage you to keep your studies going.
No, believe me, I lost it far faster than my grandmother. My grandmother, and I've made reference to her many, many times on this show. She was, she was a remarkable person, and she was, in fact, talking about gifts. She always gave me the gift of storytelling. As I mentioned several occasions, she was an unbelievable storyteller because everything she told was in story form. Mm-hmm. You would never get a straight answer from her. If you asked her what's for dinner, then she sat down and told you about this little boy at a fair. And you're wondering what that has to do with what's for dinner, but 20 minutes later, you learn
the
lesson.
She would get there, you would
exactly,
find it.
Yeah. And if she didn't tell you a story, then she would give you some sort of personal reflection that gave you reason for pause. So,
grandmothers were like that. I had a grandmother that when we gathered my mother's seven brothers and sisters together, and at Christmas time, it was a time that was filled with lots of stories about growing up and the stories they told as kids. I remember I had 20 cousins, and one year my grandmother had a $5 bill on the Christmas tree for every cousin. I'd never seen so much money in my life as was on that Christmas tree. It was the most amazing thing. So there were lots of those.
20 cousins.
20 cousins.
Oh, my gosh. You know, one of the things that I've learned over the years is that gifts and presents are really different. And, you know, for example, for me, when I think about the difference between a gift and a present, I think a present is, you know, honey, here's an iron so you can press my shirts a little bit better. Here's a toaster oven so you can make me breakfast in the morning. And, you know, here's a good frying pan so you can cook a little bit better. And gifts are things that I think spawn from the attention that we give others. Your wife's favorite movie, she happens to mention one night, a CD with a song that you heard your boyfriend hum, and always, always, always offering words of personal sentiment in a card, no matter how clumsy they may be. I think that those are important things that all listeners should listen to, whether it be a Christmas card or Hanukkah card or Kwanzaa or anything. I think it's important to be able to offer personal sentiments, to really stretch to offer that sense of human expression, because, you know, some people will say, well, I buy a card and it's got words in them. I'm not a pro. I mean, that's why I buy those.
Uh-huh.
And my position is, no, I think you really have to find a way to package your thoughts, to package your sentiments, and to do something that makes sense, right? You know? Do you write things in greeting cards?
I do write things in greeting cards, and I put personal notes in. I also think that it's hard in the gift giving. We're swayed sometimes by a sort of the societal message. And it took me years to figure out that if it plugs in, it's not a good gift to give your wife at Christmas. It's just one of those things you learn.
Well, we're not going to go there, all right? We're not going to go there. Okay. Well, we're going to continue with gift giving in a moment. But right now, we want to find out from Laura if traffic is cooperating with last-minute shoppers.
Well, traffic looks pretty good. We have not seen accidents reported all morning until just a little while ago. Now there is a two-vehicle accident on the 610 North Loop westbound at 290 Northwest Freeway, one main lane is affected. Otherwise, traffic is flowing freely. Current temperature is 50 degrees. Skies are overcast. Humidity is 83%. And today will be mostly cloudy with a high of 61 degrees and a low tonight of 45 degrees. Air quality is in the good range. Please stay tuned after story time for the 420 Drug War News, followed by Undercurrents at 10 o'clock and then Wide Open Spaces at 11 o'clock. And now back to today's Community Spotlight, story time with Dr. Hank Rubicek and guest storyteller Jay Staley.
Thank you, Laura. You know, Jay, your next story is about the most treasured gift, and if you don't mind, I sort of gave it a title, The Priceless Christmas, because I know a little bit about what that story is, and I'm looking forward to you telling us.
When I was 21 in the fall, in October, when I was 21, my mother contracted meningitis. And I was living in New Mexico, and I came back to Columbus, Ohio. And when I arrived, she was in the hospital. She was in a coma. The doctors weren't real encouraged by the situation, and they were shocked when she came out of her coma after 7 days, and didn't give us a lot of hope about what might happen at that point. And it took my mother a long time to recover. She said things were jumbled up pretty well. I remember her when I asked her in the hospital where this problem began. She said it was in my east ear. And I said, in your east ear? And she said, well, maybe it was in my west ear. I can't remember. But the words and the descriptions and everything got jumbled up during the process of the coma. But in December, she finally got out of the hospital, and she got to come home for Christmas that year. And my brothers managed to get home as well. My brother Josh was 27, and Judd was 24. I was 21. And on Christmas morning, we put the burner under the coffee pot and got the coffee perking, and we woke our parents up and had sweet rolls, and we kind of spent some time over breakfast. We weren't so anxious to get under the tree and look at the presents that year. We were more inclined to rest and take some time and visit. And my father finally got up and went into the living room and plugged the lights in on the tree. And at that point, he was done with 8mm movies, and he was just taking still pictures with the 35mm camera. And he gave us the high sign, and my brother Josh stuck his head out of the door from the kitchen, and my brother Judd and I, and we jogged into our stockings as really young adults, and sat on the floor and opened up presents kind of casually. And at some point, we turned our attention back to the kitchen, and a coffee cup appeared around the corner, and my mother came into the room, and she sat down on the sofa. She took her spot there on the sofa, and smiled at us. And all those years when we opened presents at Christmas, I'd look up at my mother on the sofa smiling at us as we tore open these packages. And I always wondered what she was smiling about, because she didn't have any presents. She wasn't opening presents yet. We were all opening our presents, but she looked so happy there on the couch. And it wasn't until that day when we were all adults and I looked up at my mom on the sofa and she was smiling, and I realized that the real gift to her was not anything that was under the tree. The real gift to her were the people that were in the room and the time that we spent together as a family around Christmas. And that year is when I realized that our real gift that year was the fact that we were all together and that my mother was with us. Mm-hmm. And we took our time opening presents, not because we were anxious to see what was in those packages, but because we wanted to extend that time together as much as we could at that point. So that was probably the Christmas when I realized that the real gift at Christmas is people. It's the time that you have and the time that you give. It's the attention that you give to people, the time you spend listening to their stories and telling stories and sharing stories.
Yes.
And the presents, the gifts, can sometimes be quite remarkable things, but they're not the most remarkable thing.
Yeah. Jay, that's a beautiful story. That is truly, truly a beautiful story. It also reinforces the importance of focusing on moments. You know, I couldn't help noticing how you were, I think passionate was the word when you were talking about your father's coffee cup. And I don't know if you noticed, you sort of gesture, you know, like you're mm-hmm. holding the cup and talking about your mother's spot on the sofa. She had a spot, mm-hmm. right? I would imagine, given the fact that she was so ill, that not seeing her at that spot might have crossed your mind.
Well, it certainly, especially since she had been in the hospital for so long, mm-hmm. and she hadn't been in any of her spots around that house, mm-hmm. you know. And so the fact that she had returned and was taking up residency in those spots again, right. that were her places where yeah. we were used to seeing her, yeah. just meant so much to us on that particular yeah. Christmas.
It's a beautiful story of just a magnificent, magnificent episode about family cohesion. Jay Staley is giving us the gift for his storytelling brilliance of his storytelling brilliance on KPFT's Storytime. And I'm your host, Hank Grubacek, hoping that all of you will have the chance to be with loved ones this holiday season and, of course, telling stories to each other. Let me just do a little plug for the Houston Storytellers Guild, if I may. You know, whether it's telling or listening, experience the art of storytelling at the Houston Storytellers Guild Story Swaps on the third Thursday of every month at 6:30 p.m. at Braz's Bookstore, which is at 2421 Bissonnette. Our next meeting is January 19th. Oh my gosh, next year. And you also want to check out our website at www.HoustonStorytellers.org. And please, please do join us. I have the good fortune and the honor of being president of Houston Storytellers Guild, and people like Jay are members, and it's just a superlative group of individuals. And
those story swaps are always pretty interesting, too,
they
because you
really
never know which
you
direction they're going to go
know.
And what stories you're going to hear.
Never know. You're headed to Vermont, you walk out in Hungary.
Right.
You have no idea. Uh-huh. You know, Jay, I don't know if you were listening to the news this morning, and I just sort of brushed over this earlier, but arrests at Greens Point Mall, parents and their kids, virtually breaking down the door, trying to get to the new Air Jordans worth $180.
Yeah, I read about it in the paper this morning. You know, I can remember when my kids were little and there was always some toy, some item that was the gift item of the year, that it you measured your parenting skills on whether you could put that item under the tree for your child. I remember when the Cabbage Patch dolls were all the rage, and you had to try to figure out how to score one of those so that you could be a parent that put one of those under the tree. And it was talked about, the parents talked about it at the dance studio and at the football games, right. You know, whether or not you had gotten one yet. So it didn't surprise me. It is kind of sad. It is that sort of thing that I think those gifts are underproduced on purpose to create that kind of
there's something going on. There's something going on. But yeah, you know, Cabbage Patch, remember the Pet Rocks?
Yeah.
My grandmother, you know, lo and behold, this won't surprise anybody who hears me talking about her. When I wanted a Pet Rock, she says, you know, pets breathe, they eat. Rocks don't do that. They will just sit there.
Yeah, I imagine she said you can get a pet rock in the backyard.
That's what she said. She said, go get a stone. You want to put it in a cage? You want to put a leash on it? That's fine. Go walk around with the rock and see if people think that you're really Meshuggah. And that was exactly what I heard. I heard all of these, no, you can't do it, and that's a ridiculous thing, but she always seemed to phrase it in a relatively entertaining way. I don't know. I really think that this year, and I want to say this from every portion of my heart, I think that people should really tell people what they feel about them. I think we should tell people that we love them. I think we should tell our friends how important they are to us. I think we have to do exactly what we do because we feel it. And that is as genuine a gift-giving mechanism, I think, as we have. Jay, I warned you in advance how fast this is going to be, and boy, I had a good time. And Jay, thank you so much for the gift of your presence and for your stories of rich holiday reflections. Jay, I wish you and your family a beautiful, beautiful holiday season. I know you're traveling this weekend, and be safe. Come back well. And to all of you, until the first story time of 2012 on January 27th, I want to wish all of you a holiday season that is absolutely filled with all the wonder it may bring. And always remember, it is never too late to live happily ever after. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and a wonderful, wonderful, joyous, and peaceful, contented new year. I'm Dr. Hank Rubicek, demanding you have a safe and memorable holiday weekend. Thank you.
You have been listening to Open Journal, KPFT's experiment in community-inspired radio. Since 1970, KPFT has been a unique source on the Houston airwaves. Visit KPFT.org to support this station. KPFT listener members are welcome to produce an Open Journal.